So, good morning, everybody. This morning, I'd like to share a bit about what has kind of been happening in the church from my perspective over the past year, and some of the things which are in the pipeline and where I kind of see us going, and some of the things which are in my head and on my heart. It's basically a year, I think it was a year last month, that I've been leading the congregation.
Whee!
So thank you for your patience, thank you for your kindness, thank you for being very lovely to me and Chloe. I haven't had a clue what I'm doing, which is always good. But it is an absolute privilege, and I'm just absolutely loving it. It's just the best job in the world. It's absolutely fantastic, and there's just so many amazing people. So it's brilliant. So yay! Chloe and I are moving to Marlow. We're looking. We're hopefully going to complete. We're going to exchange contracts next week. So we'll be neighbours with Russell and Sue. So wee. As church, I said that I felt like God said that we are to be a family on a mission, and we're to be like the Incredibles. We are all incredible because we have all been chosen to be carriers of the glory of God, which is absolutely amazing. God really values his glory and only ever puts it in things which are valuable. So that makes every one of us absolutely incredible. We are a priesthood. We are an open heaven. We are carriers of his kingdom. We are releases of hope and life wherever we go, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory, which we release on the face of the earth, one by one, organization at a time, street by street. It's good stuff. So, you know, we are incredible. And they have a mission to do, and if they don't do the mission stuff, if they're not true to their identity and their superhero calling, then actually they're being irresponsible with their identity that they've been given. But equally, if they just do the mission and they don't do the whole family stuff, because they're a family, they need to care for one another, they need to look after one another, they need to eat together, they need to argue with one another, they need to really be a unit. If they just do the mission stuff and not the family stuff, then they've totally missed who they are as well, because they're supposed to be a family. But if they just do the family stuff and not the mission stuff, then that's irresponsible as well. And it's exactly the same for us, that we actually need each other. And, you know, when you watch the film The Incredibles, they all kind of take turns in fighting the baddie, and, you know, they all work together to do the mission. And it's the same for us. You know, we're the body of Christ. We need one another. And so I feel like, you know, that's kind of who we are. I tweeted yesterday something that I read, which is that it's like the church doesn't do mission. Church is part of God's mission. So you don't take on mission projects. We are part of the mission of God. Theologians call God Missio Dei, which means a missional God. He is basically on a mission to restore the whole of humanity to himself, to bring heaven to earth, you know, from the fall onwards, and the church is part of that. So inherently, the church is missional. It's not that we do mission projects as the church. We actually are, in our very identity, a mission, a part of the mission of God. So we're on a mission. And that, you know, that's just a radical thing to be part of. And I think there is something, you know, that God is doing at the moment in Christendom, you know, revelation about the kingdom of God and the mission of God and all that kind of stuff, which is changing people's attitude to church. And is almost kind of, for me, I'm kind of just really feeling this frustration within me to kind of re-radicalize the church, because it's not kind of a club to join, you know, to join and be a bum on the seat and maybe kind of get involved in the odd project. You know, the early church, if you joined that missional movement, you're essentially putting your life on the line. It's inherently radical. And we need to get back to some of that stuff if we want to have the impact of the early church, because we're not seeing what we should be seeing in Western Christianity. So, we are missional, and we're also a family. God is relational. He is Trinity. The New Testament is really explicit in calling us children of God, co-heirs with Christ, that we're to know him as Father, and that, you know, in Revelation, the whole thing is summed up in a wedding. So God is about family, and he's about mission. And so we encompass the two. How's that? Is that good? Good. Okay, so this is some of the stuff which has been happening in the last year. So there's been quite a bunch of leadership changes. We've got, this is not in any order, this is just some of the things which have happened. We've got two youth clubs. One has been turned around, which is being headed up by Phil Stewart. Thank you, Phil. You're not here, but if you're listening, you're amazing. And Sam Whiteman. And the other one has been launched recently by Dan West, and that's kind of in partnership with some of the guys from Marlow Christian Fellowship, and that's the Seniors Youth Club. That happens on Thursday night. We've got the Debt Advice Service, John Swan. That's run in partnership with the other churches together under the organisation of Frontline. We've started The Conversation, and we've had the Come Dine With Me's. Thank you very much, Anthea and Paul. I have thoroughly enjoyed my Come Dine With Me's. We've put together an Alpha team, and the Alpha course is running at the moment, which is fantastic. We've had some great socials together as a family, like the curry and the Kaylee, the fish and chip night, the men's trip to the dogs, other stuff like that. We've obviously made some changes to Sunday meetings. You know, we've made improvements to the creche and the children's work. That's down to Kaz and Paul and Anthea. They're running through some fantastic new material with the children, which is brilliant. Obviously, we flip the meetings, the kids come back, and we've just tried to make things a bit tighter, a bit better. Hopefully, you've noticed that. We've seen salvations at Wycombe this year. We've seen an increase in giving. We've seen an intercessors group, which is now meeting every other week, start, which is brilliant, covering the church and leadership in prayer. It's good to have some air support. We've got a weekly early morning prayer and worship time, which happens every Thursday morning at Kerry Francis's house. Paul Derriaz will vouch for the fact that is the best time of the week. Is that right, Paul?
Yep.
We've got new members joining us. We have made leaps and bounds on the website. There's loads of stuff going on with churches together, relationships and friendships with the other ministers, which is really exciting. I'm going to meeting with the other guys shortly. We're going to take another day away together and really discuss, you know, what is our strategy and really think through for how to reach the town together and what are the things which actually make sense for us to be doing together, what are the things which make sense to do just maybe in partnership with one or two churches, and what are the things which we'd be doing ourselves. Because at the moment, it kind of is just like, you know, we just inherit a churches together schedule, and actually it's not necessarily as effective as it could be. So I'm looking forward to that. At the last conversation, Karen Feakin shared about our evangelism strategy, which has been put in place and is now being outworked. Had one new small group, some fabulous dedication services. I've had great stories across the last year from treasure hunting. And I shared maybe a couple of months ago about the fact that I've been part of a group which has been meeting, you know, with the council and with the police and with some, you know, other organisations and other churches to deal with some of the social problems on the estates down that way. And the police shared, they said that since the kind of this group has been put together and has been kind of working and liaising with the people on the estate and stuff, they've seen a 44% reduction in antisocial behaviour calls, which is great. So basically, I kind of see this. It's kind of felt like loads of little bits twisting and turning and little things here and there. And I was thinking about it, and I just felt like the Lord just say, this is what happens when you reposition yourself. You know, if you're just kind of moving and you want to make a move from that to that, it's actually loads of little movements which make that happen. Or if you're kind of following a compass and you're actually going on a journey, you know, you're walking in the hills or whatever, very rarely can you just walk straight there. You can never go in a straight direction. When you kind of go on a journey, it feels like we're going like that, twists and turns. But actually, we are on a journey of repositioning ourselves from one location to the next location. Personally speaking, I'm not really interested in doing activity and lots of church activity. And look at us, we're doing lots of things for the sake of doing it. But I am very interested in us actually being an effective group of people. So, what's this new position? For me, it's actually us becoming effective in the mission side of Family on a Mission. You know, we want to see people's lives impacted. We want to be a real blessing to the community. We want to be loved and known by the town. We want to be a service provider among other people of care in the town. We want people, you know, all across the town, when they're having a hard time and having real difficulties in their lives, to think, hey, maybe I should contact the guys at River Church. They do some really good stuff. I want us to be effective in what we're doing. And I think that comes through demonstrating the kingdom of God, through the love of God, through serving, but also the power of God, through miracles, signs and wonders, out in the streets, one chili stuff and three chili stuff. Like I said, I want us to be a real blessing to the community. And from that for me then filters down to actually, my heart, this repositioning is about us regularly seeing people come to know Jesus. Because he is amazing. He is the only thing which makes sense of life. And it's life with him, with God, is amazing. Which will then filter down to church growth. And then we kind of, if we've got church growth, then you do all the things which, we do in order to have a healthy church. So we do pastoral care, we do teaching, we do discipleship, blah, 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 blah. But actually the kind of priority really for us is to actually become effective in reaching the town. So, peaches, not coconuts. Little side note, one way you could describe I would like us to be as a community is like peaches and not coconuts. Let me explain. Peaches have a really tight core and are really soft and squishy on the outside. Coconuts are really hard to get into and there's no substance on the inside. I can't take the credit, I heard it somewhere else, but I thought that's great. It makes sense. I want us to be, have really tight relationships, have a really tight core, but completely blurred edges. I want us to be the most welcoming community there is in miles around. And so, that it requires all of us taking responsibility for that. It's not good enough if new people arrive just to go, oh, hi, how's it going? And, give them a nice welcome. We actually need to take that one step further and really make an effort to get to know people, invite them back to your house for dinner. And if you're new to River Church and you feel like you've been welcomed well, then that's great. It's now your responsibility to do the same as well. And if you haven't been welcomed well, I'm sorry about that. But we need to be peaches and not coconuts and really, really easy for people to access this community, which has essentially been around for a long time now. And the relationships are old. Some of the relationships have been there for ages, which is there's a strength to that, but there's also kind of a cliqueiness about that. And we need to make sure that we're really accessible. So currently in the pipeline, we are about to start doing in partnership with Tier Fund, who are helping us out with this. They've got money from the government as part of the Big Society to basically help churches and charitable organisations become more effective in reaching their communities. So for free, we've got help from Tier Fund in doing a community needs assessment, and Pete Hopkinson is heading that up. Thank you, Pete. We are looking at restructuring the team and creating some more teams to get more people involved in actually driving some of the activity in the church, which I'll explain a bit in a second. We've got Graham heading up a new senior citizens outreach, which would be fantastic. We need to change venues. This venue is increasingly not working for us. Obviously, we're a little lower on numbers today, but often we've really filled the space, and especially with the car parking issue now, it just increasingly feels like a venue which isn't working for us. So we're at the moment looking for new venue possibilities. One of those possibilities is the URC Church, Christchurch, by Platt's Garage, by the Sainsbury's car park. That is an option. It's one of other options. But at the moment, they meet at 10:30 in the morning. So if we were going to meet there and make that our home, that potentially would mean that we need to look at meeting at a different time. There's a few options on the table at the moment, but we're just kind of exploring kind of our way forward in that. We're looking at setting up some healing rooms. From my perspective, this has been one of the things which I personally just want to wanted to set up since I took over the leadership. I was reading again a few months ago about John G. Lake. Hands up if you know who John G. Lake is. Basically, he was kind of one of the revivalists of the last century. And he's set up some, he went to Africa, did a whole bunch of mission work, planted thousands of churches and all that kind of stuff. But in Spokane, Washington, he set up some healing rooms. He believed in, you know, the supernatural power of God, and, you know, what he walked in was phenomenal. And in 5 years, they saw 100,000 healings. And the US government declared Spokane, Washington as the healthiest place on the planet. That's 20,000 healings a year. That's over 400 a week. And, you know, I was reading that, and I just wept, and I wept, and I wept. I was sitting there, as I normally do, and I read at the beginning of the day with my cup of tea, and I just cried my eyes out, and I thought, God, you know, we have lost something, and the church needs to get something back. I mean, it needs to demonstrate Jesus more accurately again. When you read the Gospels, every other page is a miracle. And healing rooms, you know, they're not radical. There's already hundreds of healing rooms set up all up and down the country in the UK already. It's not like kind of we're pioneering new ground. I was surprised because I was looking at UK healing rooms as this organisation, and you know, they can give you training packs and kind of protocols and all that kind of stuff. And I clicked on the list of healing rooms, and there are just hundreds of them. So for me, it's something that God is doing nationally, which again, kind of, you know, I want us to kind of get involved in. And that would be primarily as an outreach, and also Early Birds, which is Karen Feakin is about to launch with. I don't know who else is going to lead it. A new ladies' breakfast, which will be at the assembly rooms. So for me, the restructuring of the team looks a little bit like this. You've got the leadership team, and actually I think there is kind of a genetic code, almost like kind of DNA, in the Ephesians fivefold ministry for effective, long-term, sustainable, healthy global church movements. And that is around the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the shepherding, and the teaching, the apest. So on the leadership team, we need to have a mix of those roles. And basically, what I feel, and the guys seem to agree with me, is actually there are so many things to do in church, the apostolic. Actually, let me just explain a bit about what these kind of functions are, because often I think in church there's been some really unhelpful stereotypes and kind of some straw man teaching around kind of this stuff, you know, a supposed way of, you know, being, but actually there's no substance to it. The apostolic, we all contain aspects of these five. The apostolic is, you know, kind of you'd see it in the world as classic, you know, entrepreneur, CEO type person, very kind of interested in structures, architecture, you know, the general kind of health of an organization, very interested in strategy, big picture. And kind of the focus really in the apostolic is the pushing forward and the fathering of a church, and the pushing forward missionally of Christianity as a movement. The prophetic is essentially just not around prophetic ministry, but around kind of the office of prophet, is maintaining that connection between kind of God's standards and where things are at, you know, with the people. So classic, like prophet, how am I doing for time? Running out. Classic prophet, you know, in the world, someone who's prophetically wired would be someone who's a rallier for human rights issues, or for environmental issues, or social justice. You know, someone who is kind of bridging the gap between actually this is God's standard for humanity, and this is where humanity is at the moment. And there's someone who's kind of really, you know, ideologically wired. And within the church framework, you know, that is someone who's constantly calling the church back to, hey, this is the standard of Christ. This is the standard of God. How, you know, it's great that you're doing all this stuff, but, you know, how are we, you know, being an open heaven? How are we actually loving God back the way that, you know, he should be loved? All that kind of stuff is that kind of prophetic kind of presence of God wiring that actually is so vital within church. Evangelistic team, you know, you see kind of classic evangelist, you know, in the world as someone who's an amazing salesman, you know, really kind of just gregarious, loves humor, loves kind of novelty. They carry the gospel as their core story. And, you know, we need an evangelistic team to essentially grow the church through conversions, through being able to win people for Jesus. And then shepherding is obviously, you know, we kind of know that. It's about caring, it's about the community, it's about the health of people. And then we've got teaching, which is about actually helping people to know stuff and have healthy, good teachings. And then around that, we've got our operations department, Chris Nelson, and we've got serving the community, which for me, I was going to put arrows all around that, but because the serving the community should essentially be entwined in all of that, but it looked really, really messy. So the leadership team has kind of, so the way I see it kind of working is that we actually create some little teams of people within the church who are owning those agendas, and then that is kind of feeding back into the leadership team, and people on the leadership team are kind of heading up those various teams. And essentially, it'll mean more people drawn into the leadership of the church and owning kind of those agendas and actually driving those kind of important agendas forward. Is that interesting or is that boring? Is it? Okay. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. Dan's bored. So the leadership team at the moment is myself, Keith, Chris Nelson, Pete Hopkinson, Karen Feakin. Am I missing anyone out? Yes. So then the two announcements I have are Kerry Francis, our beloved worship leader, is joining the Marlowe leadership team. Hey, she's not here. And Linda Southwood, our beloved Linda, is leaving the leadership team. Yes. So it's with mixed emotions that I kind of share this. We will be having a time kind of, at some point over the next month or so to really be able to kind of thank her and show our appreciation and kind of pray her out and stuff like that. She's been amazing. She's been on the team for 10 years and she's served the church faithfully. But it is good that she's coming off because she needs a rest. She's been doing it for ages. Sorry. Yeah, she's not going anywhere. She's staying around. She's going to be continuing to head up the SOZO and all that kind of stuff. So for me, on the leadership team, there is a gap in these two areas, the teaching and the shepherding. So that's how I see it in my head. And that's something that we kind of need to address. So the year ahead. From my perspective, some of the things which I think we need to keep doing is just keep growing that sense of family. I really want everyone just to be completely cared for everyone to just feel part of the community. I want us to keep having lots of fun together. I want us to continue on our journey of discipleship. I'm going to share a bit about that in the coming weeks. I think we need to create a space for extended worship and ministry. And gifts of the Spirit and all that kind of stuff, which we don't really get to do on Sunday mornings when there's so much to fit in. From my perspective, I really want us to really think and strategize around what is our strategy for our children and our young people and that kind of 18 to 30s group, both internally and externally. And what do we want to see? And then how are we going to start aligning ourselves with that? Because we've got amazing opportunities with things like Kids Fest, Holiday Week, and the youth clubs and stuff like that. And actually, it's how we really strategically position ourselves to be effectively reaching kind of those age groups. I want all church members to be in the right places. I want boldness in evangelism, in our evangelistic kind of department. The Lord spoke last year to me very clearly. I had three conversations about the same thing, which I'd never heard about in the same week. Actually, it wasn't three conversations. I heard it from Andy Reid. He shared about the parable of the sower and how in that parable, only 25% of the seed actually reaps a harvest. It's a simple equation. If you want to see more harvest, you've got to sow more. And then I was having a conversation with a guy called Ben, who's a youth worker from St. Peter's, and he said the same thing, and I'd never heard it before, and I was reading it in a book, and that all happened in the same week. I'd never heard it before, and no one's really talked about it since. So for me, that's something that's really, really important, is actually it's all of us together finding our right ways to do it, but as a church, there's something about casting out off the fear of man and the fear of like evangelism and all that kind of stuff, and actually just telling people about the gospel. If we want to see more of a harvest, Lord, let's see a harvest. We actually need to do some sowing. Tell people about Jesus. It's ridiculous. We need to keep working alongside other churches. We obviously need to respond to whatever comes out of the community needs assessment. I do feel like there's been quite a bit of hype. Not hype, but there was a kind of a, hey, Marlowe Youth Centre, let's really change the community. And now kind of nothing's happened. So I'm kind of aware of that. you know, we're going to do this needs assessment, and we do see kind of our involvement in Marlow Youth Centre as, you know, absolute key going forward. So, I think we need to start looking at fresh expressions of church and Christianity. If we're going to think, what is the most effective way to reach the town? There's 20,000 people in the town, maybe 10,000 to 15,000 on the peripheries. The reality is, people are not going to come to the 6 existing churches in its current format. Everything is going to need to get a lot more messier, a lot more creative, a lot more kind of experimental, taking church to the people. I don't know what that looks like, but I think it's a journey we need to go on in finding out, you know, how can we become more impacting and more like the early church. And I don't think it involves just this becoming bigger in its current format. I think that's part of it, but I think there's more. So, to finish, have you ever tried to push water? If you're in one of those kind of swimming pools, if you try and push water, it's really, really hard at first, and you're like, ah, and you're not getting anywhere. But if you get a couple of other people and you kind of start that kind of slow motion walk, you kind of then begin to kind of build up a little bit of momentum. And if you get a few more people, you all start kind of going. And then suddenly you begin to create a whirlpool together. Oh, what's this? So, 2 minutes. Suddenly you begin to create a whirlpool together. And then it's really hard to stop because you've created this momentum. And the momentum starts to carry you. And, you know, if someone then jumps into that pool, they jump in and they move. You jump in, and around you go. And I feel like what's happening is we're starting to create a culture where there is movement. There's been movement happening over the last year. And it's really important that, actually, if you start pushing the other way, that's a really unhelpful thing to do. So it's really, and you can't do it at first. You're like, whoa. But I feel like we're creating kind of a movement. And actually, it's really important that it's kind of all feet on the water. Obviously, if you're having a hard time, that is absolutely fine. And there are times when you can kind of take your feet off and get carried along in the movement. But everyone can't do that. There is a real need for everyone to push. And we create a whirlpool. And actually, it's our culture. It's our culture that is this gift to the town. It's a culture of hope. It's a culture of life. It's a culture where we believe in one another, where we're gracious towards one another, where we carry this radical hope. There's something about the hope of Christianity, which is our gift to the town. Let's be multipliers of hope in the town. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. So healing comes when we bring hope, when we bring a radical hope. And one of the ways I think we can do that, real simple, let's become the most encouraging people we've ever met. Really, really simply, just be encouraging. So to your neighbours, to your colleagues, just really go about every single day. How can I be the most encouraging version of me? And let's just go about that encouraging everyone and anyone, calling out the greatness of them, telling them what they're great at, telling them what you appreciate. That's a culture of honour, where we see people the way that God sees them. Amen. Amen. So let's all push. Any questions? I'm not sure we've got time for questions. So, right, shall I pray? Lord Jesus, you are the hope of nations, and we love you loads. And I just want to thank you for the everything that you've done in all of our hearts. You know, we're not here for no reason. We're here because you've done something in every single one of our hearts. And Lord Jesus, I want to pray that you continue to move in our hearts, Lord, and that you would use us as a community to really be effective in sharing what you've done in our hearts in other people's hearts and hearts within the town, that we would be an effective church. Help us, Lord. Give us grace with one another. Amen. Amen.